zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
One of the great injustices I've ever seen as a Bears fan, Yurko, is when they didn't give Zach Miller that touchdown in New Orleans. Considering what the poor guy had to go through,
right,
the injury that
ball.
He sustained. That was a catch.
That was a catch. There was no completion of the process crap that we had with Calvin Johnson.
Nonsense back then, you know? I mean.
And then right away you knew something was amiss.
Oh, my God. It's the worst. Zach's like Santa Claus this year. He's giving away ugly sweaters with Miller Lite. He's going to give you some details on that. He's like a country star now. He's singing.
Singing songs?
This guy's a renaissance man.
Well, a country star. You can sing about your mom going to prison and all types of good stuff.
I get. I mean, I'm sure there is other more pleasant content you can sing about when you're a country singer and not just your mom going to prison.
I was drunk the day my mom got out of prison.
Let's say hi to Zach Miller, the former Bears tight end. He joins Carmen and Yurko now on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app on the Corona Hotline. Zach, what's up, man? How are you?
What's going on, my friends? How are you guys?
Great. We're doing all right. You know, like, it's still to this day, I think it rubs everybody the wrong way that you didn't get a catch. You didn't get a touchdown on that play. Like, today, I think they've realized that finally they kind of changed the rules. Like, that's a catch today if you made that play again.
You know, they actually called in. The league does this after every weekend. They call in, I think, on Tuesday, and they go over all the challenges and all the controversial plays, and they say, oh, what was this? What was that? They called and apologized and said, we messed that one up. But it would have been cool to go out with my last catch actually being an official touchdown.
Unbelievable.
We'll leave it at that.
Exactly. Right, exactly. Does it bug you when you are asked because you have to bring back, it brings back bad memories? Or like, is there enough time away where you can kind of reflect on it? And I know how appreciative you are the way the doctors were able to keep everything intact, but like,
right, yeah.
Is it hard to go back and think of it?
No, it's not hard at all. I mean, I just accepted it, right? Early on, there was a point where I was like, shoot, why? You know, I was kind of sulking a bit. But, life goes on. I knew you can't play football forever, but I never really expected it to end that way or go through the things that I had to. But I'm still in a position where fairly healthy and able to, recover in a way where doctors did a great job putting me back together, and although I got things that'll linger, they were able to keep my leg, and I'm blessed in that sense. So I'm cool with how it all turned out.
Good perspective. How close are you still to the game and like connected to the game? I mean, to what extent are you watching football? Are you following it and that kind of stuff?
I watch every weekend. Yeah. I'm normally in the city every weekend working with my family over at Miller Lite, and if I'm not, definitely at the game or watching. I'm a Bears guy through and through, so I'm still a fan of football and heavily invested in it. It's different now being on this side of the fan thing, like screaming at the TV and seeing things that I want to see. I understand, the other side of the coin now. So
you feel most connected to the Bears then, right? Like when you play for multiple teams, you played for the Jags, they drafted you, but you came here. And
yep.
People probably associate you most with the Bears. You had some great success here before the injury. So, like, do you feel most connected to this franchise?
Yeah, I think just because of the 5-year span that I had there, the majority of my success came in that time. And then, the connection that I had with the support that I got when I got there, and then the support throughout the whole, injury and everything, like, that just has a connection. Now, I still do root for the Jags. I mean, that was, the franchise that gave me an opportunity to get into the NFL and drafted me. So I don't want to diminish what that is, but obviously, Chicago holds my heart, and, it will forever. So the Bears will be my squad until it's all said and done.
All right. Well, they did a whole thing on Alex Smith and his recovery and everything. Are we going to be able to see a Zach Miller recovery process video documentary? Something might go up for an Oscar or something like that. Academy Award.
I tell you what, the content that I have going through this thing is it's heavy. There's a lot. I wish I could share some of the photos and videos that I have going through that entire process. They might have to blur out all the images.
Oh,
I've been kind of sharing little bits and pieces over my social media just because I'm getting – it's a time of year now where you get all these memories pop up on your phone.
Right, right.
And they're like, hey, 4 years ago this and 4 years – 3 years ago that happened. And I'm like, damn, I don't want to see these anymore. Hmm. But, yeah, I've been posting little bits. It'd be cool to have somebody put it in a very streamlined – cool videography thing. So I don't know if we'll get the documentary, but I got the content to do it.
So you would be up for that, like if ESPN for like an E60 piece or something said, hey, we want to,
oh,
you know, yeah, you would totally be down for that?
For sure, man. I think, it sheds a lot of light on, you know, those type of injuries and the things that need to be done to really to prevent what we were trying to prevent, because mm-hmm. I know a number of people that have, you know, suffered some of the same things that I went through but didn't turn out the way they did just because of the lack of maybe information or you know, being prepared to handle that stuff. So, and plus I think it might be a cool story just to see the bounce back and see how things transpire from that, because it's funny how life works. I don't know if you know, if that injury doesn't happen for me, I don't know if I'm where I'm at now. And if it doesn't, I stay healthy and I keep playing another couple of years. In my head, I think I funnel straight back into football, whether it be coaching or get into broadcasting or something like that. But the injury put me in this place where I needed to escape. And so I leaned on music and I started writing songs and trying to figure this whole thing out. And it created a whole new passion for me. So I really don't know if those things transpire the way they do if I don't have to go through that.
It's interesting. Zach Miller's our guest. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. So yeah, you're writing songs and you're performing. I mean, had you never done that? I mean, is that something literally you just took up in the aftermath of playing football, or was it always an interest?
No, I had played the guitar before, just, you know, as a hobby. Yeah. I got a guitar in college and started just playing as a hobby and kind of taught myself off of YouTube. But I'd never written songs or really thought about, you know, actually doing that. I had never even played out of the comfort of my own home. But when you're laying in a hospital bed for 2 months and you can't move, you need somewhere to go. And that was kind of my escape, to go relive, you know, some of the moments that I had already been through and things that you kind of hold in inside of you. So I started writing them down and they kind of just turned into songs, and it was therapeutic for me. So here we are.
And you've performed a couple times live, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I started performing live in April. And
okay.
I really just started doing little local bars here around Omaha.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I was so nervous.
Well, I can imagine.
It's so different from playing on a big stage. And, you know, you're in an arena with 80,000 people or whatever, but you're far away and you're covered up in a helmet and pads. And not everyone's looking at you. There's 21 other guys on the football field. And it's just like, man, if I mess up, everybody's going to see it now. I can mess up on a football field, and if it's not blatant, nobody really sees it. So that was, I needed to get over that type of anxiety. But since then, I've, you know, got on bigger stages. I opened up for Randy Houser in September, opened up for Brantley Gilbert, Chase Rice. So it's been cool to get on the same stage as some bigger names and kind of see how they operate. I'm always studying.
Can you sing us a ditty, maybe a stanza from one of those, you know, ones personally about the recovery in the leg?
No way.
No? It's the radio. I'm trying to get everything sold.
I need instrumentation.
I got you. I've got you.
But yeah, so that's been a good transition for me to, you know, still be, I don't know, entertaining in some sort, because you miss that that part of football.
It's hard getting up on stage, man. And it's like you said, in a small setting like that, like, and it does, even if it's a friendly crowd, you know,
right.
Maybe you're in Omaha. And
you're
okay,
how about this? Omaha Brewing Club or Brewing in Papillon, Nebraska.
But the minute, but those people are there to see a show. And the minute you script, like, I remember when Seinfeld made that documentary Comedian, and he talks about, I'm Jerry Seinfeld, man. I just got done with the most successful television show in history. But he's reworking new comedy, and he's on stage, and he loses his place, or something's
it's
not
over.
Funny.
Yeah, they're on
the
him.
Crowd doesn't care.
They're
the crowd's on you.
Right.
Like, it's hard, man. It's intimidating.
Yes, it is.
Crazy.
So that's where I'm at, man. I took football, really all the things that I learned from football, I'm trying to just use that wealth of knowledge in this into this music thing and just know how I studied and how I worked and prepared, because it's really kind of all similar. The vocal cords are a muscle. You got to strengthen and rest and, like, learn all that stuff. So it's a whole new avenue for me. But it's given me something that I'm passionate about and giving me something that I can continue to work on, because it's like climbing another mountain.
Yeah.
And there's so many challenges that are there. And who doesn't love a good challenge?
Yep.
So I'm fully in it and really like where it's at right now.
Another minute with former Bear Zach Miller joining us on the Corona Hotline on ESPN 1000. It's Carmen and Yurko. So you mentioned your friends at Miller Lite. You're going to be in town, I think, this Saturday in the South Loop. You guys will announce exactly where a little bit later on, but you've got the promotion going on here with Miller Lite, giving away ugly sweaters during the holidays. Is that right?
Yeah, we're doing it. It's Sunday, actually. So we're
Sunday, okay.
We'll be throughout the city on Sunday. We're doing the Miller Lite Mobile Tailgate is what it's called. My friends at Miller Lite and I, we're moving around the city starting at noon. It's going to be a full, because Bears are up in Lambeau.
Right.
We're gonna start priming early. I think we're going in four different neighborhoods: South Loop, River North, West Town, and Bucktown.
Nice.
And the Miller Lite Mobile Tailgate is going to be on the move. We're handing out, they say, ugly holiday sweaters, but they're not. They're pretty sweet. They're limited edition, combination of Miller Lite and Bears, so they're super cool. I've actually been rocking them. You know, I'm rolling around Omaha, Nebraska with my Miller Lite ugly sweater on, supporting the team. But you guys might need to keep your eyes out on the mail. There could be a special package from our team over at Miller Lite to hook you guys up.
I'm happy about that.
I'm always excited for a special package. Thank you, Zach.
Yeah, you guys keep your eye out. At each location, I think we're giving away 50 sweaters.
Nice.
So, you know, keep your eyes out for those locations. I'll probably link them. We're going to have a map that we can link on my social medias, all of them. So check Twitter, Instagram for those specific locations. But that's really what we're doing. We're just hanging out, supporting our Bears as they go up to Lambeau.
Perfect.
And having a lot of fun with Miller Lite.
We love our friends from Miller Lite. Give everybody your social media real quick so people know where to follow and check it out, okay?
Yeah. Instagram and Twitter are the same. It's ZMiller86. So you can hit me up there. And then I do got a new music page on Facebook, Zach Miller Music. Same thing with Spotify, Apple Music, all that stuff. So all my music streaming out there for everybody to go listen to. I'd appreciate it if you did it. And hit me up with a follow. Keep in touch for the Miller Lite map. And hopefully we'll see y'all Sunday and turn Chicago into a little party.
Great stuff, Zach. It is good catching up with you, and happy holidays, all right?
I appreciate you guys. Same to you.
We'll see you, man. There's Zach Miller, the former Bear. Covered a lot of ground there. His injury, football now, music.
I think I got something for a production company out there.
ZMiller86. Follow him on Insta and on Twitter, and you'll find out where that bus is going to be. They're making four stops on Sunday starting at noon. He said South Loop, I think West Town, Bucktown. What was the other one? River North, right?
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. So follow Zach on Instagram, and you'll be able to see where they're going to be with the
Ukrainian
Miller Lite bus.
This is
something's going on.
Chicago's home for sports.
It better be good.
ESPN 1000.
This is COVID protocol. I'm going to be pissed.
Gentlemen, this is fantastic news.
Like, it's good news?
This, I mean, I'm so excited to give you guys this. I'm being 100%
serious. It's got to be a golf thing.
Yes.
Yeah,
it is a golf thing.
God.
This from the verified account of Tiger Woods. Although it's been a long and challenging year, I am very excited to close it out by competing in the PMC Championship with my son, Charlie. I'm playing as a dad and couldn't be more excited and proud.
Wow.
Now, last year, I saw a long interview he did on Saturday for his Heroes Worldwide Challenge over the weekend. And he said that last year they used most of Charlie's drives anyways.
Mm.
So I think he's like, listen, I'm hitting it back with Justin Thomas. He goes, I can hit it like half of where Justin hits it now.
Just because of he's still the rehab?
Yeah, he's like, I couldn't hit it as far as he before I got hurt.
Wow.
He's like, now it's not even close.
Yeah, now there's been conjecture about this being the time that he's going to come back and play.
And he's going to play with
his son.
Okay.
Yeah, there was something that happened about 3 weeks ago that looked like it was going to, it's like a clear indication that this might be the path they had. But until he may verified it and made it, you know, 100% for sure.
I thought you were going to say he said, "I'm going to play in the Masters."
No,
he
made it sound like there's no chance he's playing competitive golf next year. That's the way he made it sound.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, probably not.
Yeah,
right?
Just like he just said, he's not even close. Like he's like, I forgot what he called it. Something when playing a par three course. I don't want to misquote him, but then he said like getting on a professional PGA course with those. With the conditions and the way these guys play, he goes, I'm so far away from that.
He's a long way away from that.
I think he said cool, hit and giggle, right?
Yes. That is what he said. Hit and giggle. I've never heard that
before. Like an old slap and tickle session.
Yeah. With Bruce Levine. Hit and giggle. That's what he can do now. It's hit and giggle.
That's awesome. 312-332-3776. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Remember that Yurko and I will be out on Friday. We're doing our regular Football Friday show here.
We're doing the show here.
10
for sure.
to noon in the First Midwest Bank State Street studio. But then we're going to hit the road for Oakbrook Terrace and Twin Peaks right there on 22nd Street.
Right.
Just west of Midwest Road. So we're going to be hanging there from 1 to 3.
A little bonus, Carmen Yurko.
We'll do the special Football Friday podcast. We'll whiteboard it with Yurko.
And though it feels like the Bears season is already over and it's done and it's garbage, there's a lot of football that's still out there and still available. And let's not forget, it's the Bears playing the Packers.
It is.
Still a Bears-Packers game, Carmen.
I got some numbers. You want to hear?
Well, that's why I've kind of led you into that direction. It's still Bears-Packers.
We'll see everybody on Friday, 1 to 3. At Twin Peaks in Oakbrook Terrace for the Football Friday podcast. Don't miss that. The Packers are 9-3. It's just like I've got a whole sheet here, and that's just it's like depressing. But okay,
let's go over. You're the accountant. You're my friend, the accountant.
I am. Let's go over.
I'll
give you the accounting.
Yeah, I want the accounting. Tell me what the toll. What is the Packers' toll here? Have won
each of the last three games in this series against the Bears by at least 10 points.
Okay.
They've won 5 straight overall and 19 of the last 22 in the regular season.
So the Packers are 19-3 in the regular season against the Chicago Bears.
Correct. Aaron Rodgers is a whopping 21-5 straight up against the Bears with, are you ready for this, you guys? 57 touchdowns and 10 interceptions and a quarterback rating of 107.7.
5.7 to 1.
To 1.
Touchdown to interception ratio.
And 21 wins in 26 tries.
Oh, boy.
That's what Aaron Rodgers has done to the Chicago Bears. Let that set in for a minute. I saw some of these additional figures from our buddy Adam Hoge at NBC Sports Chicago. The Bears are 3-18 against the Packers since George McCaskey took over as chairman. 3-18. They've won 3 games since George took over against the Packers.
It's not good.
The Bears are 13-33 against the Pack since Ted Phillips took over as president in 1999. The Bears are 2-11 against the Packers since Ryan Pace took over as GM in 2015. I mean, it's a rough accounting, you know? I'm not a partner of PwC, but I'm going to look at that and say that's a rough accounting.
It's horrific. It's horrific.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Miller. Sorry. Here's my question to you guys. Like you're a little different because you played for the Packers, so you don't have.
We used to kick the Bears' ass too back in the 90s.
Oh, absolutely.
You can go back and take a look at that.
I lived that in high school.
Listen, when Yurko came into the league as a Packer. Or when he started playing for the Packers, and got some real playing time, then obviously came into the league with the Dolphins. But that's where it went sideways. When Brett Favre took over,
that's it.
It has not been, like, is too much to put on the fact that the Bears-Packers rivalry should mean more. Because here's, like, for as long as I've been watching now, the Packers have been beating the crap out of the Bears, right?
Yeah, it's been really the better part of 30 years, let's face it.
It's a representation of where both franchises have been over the last 30 years.
Yes.
And a lot of it just drills down to the fact that they've had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, two of the best of all time, while the Bears have still failed to get it right time and time again. I'm not going to get anything out of, if the Bears go in and crush somehow, some way the Packers at Lambeau this Sunday night, I'm not really going to find solace in that, because where the franchise is at right now, there's no direction, right?
I agree.
So if somehow if something happened, if they knocked Aaron Rodgers out of the game and they were able to find a way to like a beatdown, like,
and that's really the only way they've beaten them exactly. In recent years when they've knocked him out of the game or Favre out of the game.
I'm not going to find solace in them beating them because they're beating the Packers one time.
Agreed. Listen, this is big picture versus small. You're exactly right, Jeff. This is big data sample versus small. Are there a few outliers on the plot? In the land? Yeah, there are. But guess where most of the dots are, guys, since 1991? They're over here.
Yeah, they're in the Packers ledger.
Exactly.
Packers side of the ledger.
You're completely right. This isn't 5 years, 10 years. This is 30 years. They have basically kicked the you-know-what's in of the Chicago Bears.
This is where I will differ with you guys. Okay? For there to be two, there has to be one. I can't stack victories on top of nothing. I've got to have a first victory. So if the Bears could somehow find a way to beat the Packers here, that's the first victory. Then you can now start stacking multiple victories against the Green Bay Packers on. So you have to have a start. There has to be zero omani domani, whatever it is, zero AD. There has to be a tie. Yeah,
anno domini.
There you go. You're Latin, okay? So you know. All right? You have to have that one. So if they get that one, in theory, there's your building block. There's the first one you can start stacking victories on. That's why the first one, no matter the turmoil and how tumultuous, and the fact that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace will probably be fired at the end of the year, we can only hope so, okay?
All right,
you got to have one. That's the only area I'll disagree with.
Okay. I'll kind of like make a little analogy to another rivalry in the NFL. I wasn't going to do that. I was actually going to go Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. Cincinnati, if you go back to the last meeting of last year and then the two meetings this year, has actually won three in a row against Pittsburgh for the first time since 1989.
Yeah.
So in almost the same timeline, right, about the 30-year timeline, even just a little bit more in that rivalry, about 91 in our terms for Bears-Packers. But in about the same time frame, it has been really nothing but a beatdown for if you're a Bengals fan, if you're from Cincinnati. I mean, Pittsburgh has basically destroyed you, has won Super Bowls, had a Hall of Fame quarterback, two head coaches, one in the Hall of Fame. The other will, in all likelihood, join him there someday. It's like it's all the stuff you dream of.
Started with the Neil O'Donnell.
Well, yeah. It quite hasn't been Favre and Rodgers, but let's face it, once they got into the early aughts and Big Ben came in, you know, the rest has been history. And, like, so I get your point. You've got to start with that one to start stacking them. And they did that last year with a late, like, week 16 or 17 win against Pittsburgh. And then they won the two this year.
Right.
So it's the first time in 30 years that the Bengals are finally starting to go, hey, like, are the tides turning a bit? But I don't feel that happening. They've got Joe Burrow and an incredible array of offensive talent. The Bears do not have that. I hope Fields is good. I do. But there's a little bit bigger of a sample. I think we know a little bit better with Joe Burrow right now.
The way you just laid that out gives me a little bit of hope if Justin Fields is on the field.
And playing well.
I can look at it completely differently if they go to Lambeau and Justin Fields is starting, which, again, shrug your shoulders. He looks good in practice again. But we have no indication that'll be the case on Sunday. If Justin Fields is all of a sudden the starter, again, my interest is peaked again and things are different. And I'm with you, Yurko. Then maybe the Bears can start building on something. But if it's just kind of like a blip, an arbitrary win with Matt Nagy still as your head coach, you know, I just can't put a whole lot into that without Fields being on the field.
It sucks that we have this feeling going into the rivalry and just the state of the Bears.
What should be usually a big game.
Yeah, and it's just like,
and it would have been a big game if you could have handled the Baltimore and Pittsburgh stuff.
Yeah.
Then you'd still be in this thing. It'd still be okay. You'd be 6-6 in the hunt, really in the hunt.
But because you blew those
games, that was a problem. Yeah, that's a problem. It's a problem. That's why this game really means nothing right now.
One of the everlasting snapshots of this season is going to be Aaron Rodgers at Soldier Field doing the I own you thing, you know? And it's that's the cold, hard reality of the situation, Bears fans, is he does own us, unfortunately. He does own the rivalry. They own the rivalry. Yeah. They have for the better part of 30 years. It's like that. And what do we always say? How do you have a rivalry when one team's always the hammer and the other's always the nail?
There is no rivalry.
There's really not.
Doesn't have a rivalry with the nail.
Right. Yurko, I love that line that you have. The first time I ever heard Yurko say it 20 years ago, he goes, hey, the hammer doesn't have a rivalry with the nail. You're like, yeah, the eagle doesn't hunt the flea.
No.
You know, I mean, it, like, more, that, that more, doesn't
more,
happen. Right.
More importantly, the flea doesn't hunt the eagle ever.
Well.
Yes, the flea will never hunt the eagle.
You can't, yeah. Right. And the eagle doesn't waste its time on the flea.
Right, exactly.
The eagle wastes its time with the big 5-foot salmon.
Yeah. Or the deer. Or the little fawn that's sitting out there. And he's like, you know, I'd like to have me a nice little protein meal today.
And unfortunately, the Packers are the eagle and the Bears are the flea.
Yeah.
The Packers are the hammer. The Bears are the nail. And I hate that we have to talk about it in those terms, but
that's where we're at.
That's reality.
That's where we're at, so don't be upset about it.
There's at least more exciting stuff going on with the Bulls, although they've got their own little thing going on with the COVID outbreak right now, but they're in action tonight. We'll talk a little Bulls coming up.
Yeah, but that cycle its way through. In 21 days, it'll cycle its way through.
Yeah, and some other news and notes from around the NBA, including a pretty interesting admission from one of our favorite guys in the league, from Luka Doncic. And it's not something you want a superstar player admitting to, Yurko. We'll play that and talk about it coming up next.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
If you miss something, the podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now. Get it in the App Store and Google Play.
Bulls are in Cleveland tonight. You know, Cleveland's been, like, sneaky surprising so far here. And they got kind of an old-school starting lineup with a couple of, like, big bigs. You know, you just don't see it a lot anymore with Allen and with the kid from USC has played. I haven't seen a
Mobley.
Ton. Yeah, Evan Mobley.
I think he might be the front-runner for Rookie of the Year right now.
He's getting rave reviews. I'm kind of interested to watch Cleveland a little bit more closely tonight since the Bulls are playing them. So, yeah, I mean, they're a playoff team right now, Cleveland. The Bulls are the second seed right now, which is great. Now they're going to have to do it again without DeMar DeRozan tonight, right? Alex Caruso's going to miss some
time. Yeah, they'll figure it out.
Another player entered. Who's the reserve player? Two men enter,
one man leave.
Merck, who is it? Matt, what's his last name?
Carpenter.
Johnson? No, I don't know. I'll look it up.
Barkley. Matt Barkley.
It's not Matt Barkley.
Now, are you sure?
Matt Thomas. Yeah, Matthew Thomas. He entered COVID protocol as well. And
didn't appreciate my two men enter, one man leave.
I appreciate it.
It's Tina Turner. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Mad Max, Beyond the Thunderdome.
Good job. Good job.
It's a great reference right there, Yurko.
That's a pretty good reference.
I'll pat myself on the back. I don't care. I'll fool myself into thinking I'm good.
No, I tell you how good you are all the time. So Bulls and Cavs tonight. Last night, the Mavs lost again. And, boy, they've played terribly here in the last 2 weeks or so. They haven't won back-to-back games since mid-November. And the one story that's been coming out of Dallas is just the fact that as great as Luka Doncic is, second straight year, he's come in a little bit overweight. And people are wondering,
little doughy.
You know, how are you spending the offseason
here? Little doughy.
He is a little doughy. And when you're 19, 20 coming into the league like he did, you kind of understand it. He's really a kid. He doesn't have his man's body yet. But after a few years in a professional program and you get in the weight room with those guys, normally you start to see a guy get carved out a little bit more. And that really hasn't been the case with Luka. Now, look, he is a brilliant talent. And I think people that are familiar with us in this show, he's one of our man crushes. I mean, we've been virtually since the word go, we're like, holy cow.
We were the first ones on him.
Like, this is next level stuff with Luka Doncic, and this is franchise type player. This is generational talent, and he is all that. But to really be next level, there's got to be a commitment. Now, he's a kid still in a lot of ways. I mean, he's 22 years old, and I feel like we can maybe give him a little bit of a break. But the self-realization needs to happen or needed to happen, and maybe it happened last night. Listen to this Q&A from Luka after their loss last night.
Where do you feel like you are physically, given the injuries you've had, the tough summer you've had, and just kind of the disjointed start coming in and out?
Yeah, I think that's my thing, you know. People can talk about it, yes or no, but I know I gotta do better. You know, I had a long summer. I think I relaxed a little bit. I'm not taking care, but, you know, I gotta be better.
He's telling you there, yeah, I had a long summer, but I took too much time off, and I've got to be better. And you're going to be, like, your greatness ultimately, you know, like, what's going to get you to truly be that player that is something like Michael Jordan or LeBron James or Kobe Bryant, where you are, where you can look back at your career and go, I won this many times. Like, your talent is undeniable and unquestionable, but a lot of guys in this league have talent, and the guys that are strong enough to play great and carry teams in May and June are the guys that are next level physically fit. Look, we got familiar with the stories here in Chicago going all the way back to the early 90s when, you know, famously Michael and Scotty and Horace, when they were all still friends, got together after losing again to the Pistons and saying, we're not going to do this anymore. And 3 days later, they're all at, I don't know if the Berto Center was open quite just then, but they're all back at the multiplex.
I thought they were at Michael's house, weren't they?
And they're all, maybe they were. Michael's like, my house every morning, and it's not playing basketball, it's weight room. All we are going to do is work out and get ourselves
get muscular,
strong.
Yes.
And we have to change the way we're preparing. And, I mean, look at the way athletes do it now and everything we know. I mean, LeBron, like, talks about going to bed when he's not playing. Like, he's in bed at 8 o'clock every night or something. Like,
he's getting his sleep.
Tom Brady doesn't go to bed after 8:30.
You like, got
to
get your sleep.
Like,
get your water.
They spend $1 million a year on taking care of their bodies. And, like, the thing that's going to take Luka to the next level ultimately is changing the way you approach the season. You can't spend the first 6 weeks trying to get in shape. Well, doesn't work that way, Luka.
Right. I think he said it honestly.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And he assessed it. He said, listen, I took a lot of time off. Maybe I took too much time off.
Yeah, correct.
And this I can tell you about my people. When I say my people, the Balkans, the former Yugoslavia, we could take criticism. If people come at us and they want to criticize us for something, we can assess it and look and say, you're right, yes, and this has got to change.
Yeah.
And I believe this kid is going to find a way to change. He realizes it took too much time.
Yeah.
Now, it's not going to happen overnight. It's a process. It's going to take him about 4 or 5 weeks. Watch his diet, what he's doing. He's plenty active, so it'll be fine. He's got to figure it out, and he will. I'm not worried about him at the age of 22.
I know. I'm not
figuring
either.
Figuring out that maybe he spent a little too much in the Adriatic coast during yacht week, you know, or yacht month maybe it turned into for him. Maybe he figured that out, knows, okay, that can't be done. I've got to be ready to go and rock. But our people can take criticism.
All right.
And then from the criticism, turn it into something positive. So.
Well, but the only thing is, I think now this is the third straight year.
It is.
Because, we'll give him, like you said, give him a pass in the rookie year. You come in, that's fine. But it's the third straight season now where he's come in trying to, on the Shaq plan, play yourself into shape, right?
Hard. Yeah.
And so.
A little doughy.
I don't know if Yurko's familiar with him, but I think you are, Carm, right? Haralabob Bulgaris.
Yes, Bob Bulgaris.
He is a high-stakes gambler on basketball who was actually, about 3 years ago, brought in by the Dallas Mavericks and Mark Cuban to work in their organization because of his analytics background.
Right.
He has since been fired. They've parted ways.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been doing some media where in a lot of the most recent interviews that he's given, he's been revealing. He's been very complimentary of Luka Doncic.
I think he's a big fan of Luka.
Oh, he loves him.
But I
think the source of his falling out amongst not just Donnie Nelson, but also was the fact that Luka Doncic apparently, like, there wasn't always complete buy-in to what Bulgaris was trying to relay to them. Because we talk about it all the time now, like, analytics, it's fine, I can present you with stuff, but you also need to have people who are receptive.
Yeah, you got to be able to receive the information, so, then do know something. What are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
Nevertheless, there was a falling out. Despite being very complimentary, he's also been very revealing about his time in Dallas, talking about at one point, I don't know if it was,
Pablo Torres?
It was either Pablo Torres or Simmons' podcast, because he did them both, where he revealed that one of the first 2 years that he was there, Luka Doncic had, like, there's some sweet tea that he loves.
Oh, yeah.
That would be in the locker room.
I heard about this.
And he would say he would go out to games or practice and fill up his water bottle with sweet tea.
With sweet tea.
You know, and like he said, and there was nobody, you know.
There was nobody going to tell him anything because he was so great already.
They're all walking around on eggshells he's hitting 25 points a night. He's the focal point of their offense, and they all know this was before they had locked him up to a long-term deal.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, hey, he's the superstar. You got to let him do what he wants to do. But at the same time, you need the push to be like, hey, dude, You know what? You're playing a professional basketball game. You're awesome. You could probably be even better, though, if you drop the sweet tea and drink some water.
You can't be drinking a thing of sweet tea that's got 40 grams of sugar in it. I mean,
that's exactly it.
It doesn't work that way.
As good as you, and that's the truth is, too, you see, you know, when he's huffing and puffing, he's red-faced, it's not because he can't do it offensively, but they hunt him on defense.
Yeah. Well, and that's where teams are going to try to take advantage of him. I mean, that's where being tired and not physically fit is going to hurt you. And it eventually does affect your offense. Like, you know, Luka's still pretty great. I mean, he's, you know, nearly averaging a triple-double, but his scoring is down. His trips to the line are way down. You know, he's off like 25%.
Oh, that's a lot.
On his free throw attempts. So
is that like, because he's tired and reluctant to drive? You gotta wonder. Settling for shots?
So it's like to get next level, man. Like, and I think because he's still so young, he will learn that.
It wasn't going to be smooth sailing for him forever.
The amount of work you need to put in is, I mean, it's almost endless. And these guys that are truly next level will tell you that it is just constant work and taking care of your body. And I think eventually he will get there. But yeah, that I do remember hearing about that or reading it maybe after one of those podcasts. And it's like, whoa, man, you can't, you know, you're basically drinking like pop to rehydrate. Like that's you're asking for trouble. Tom Brady's cringing. He can't even believe it. But I bet you if you ask Tom Brady the difference between when he was 22 and now, like with age comes wisdom sometimes.
Wouldn't
so.
You want to struggle in the league and you're, instead of being near the top two, you're eighth in the league in scoring and you're
that's
struggling?
How good he is. Yeah. Dude, there's this whole other thing going on right now with Zion, and I know he's rehabbing a foot injury.
Right.
Like, if I'm not mistaken, he's rehabbing the thing that I just avoided. Remember I broke my foot?
Right, the Jones fracture?
Yeah, and my buddy, Dr. Sean Gokey, my podiatrist friend, he's like, dude, you missed a Jones fracture by a centimeter. And I was like, oh, boy, a Jones fracture. He goes, yeah, that's not good. And he was telling me when it happens to NBA guys, like, it's bad. And you know, but Zion's trying to overcome that. They're saying he weighs, like, north of 330 right now. Like,
oh no,
that ain't good, man. No. I mean, it's hard on the body, and the league's littered, unfortunately, with guys that, you know, where sometimes the talent is just it's sort of unfulfilled in a way because guys are not doing the absolute most they can to maximize their body and give their sport everything they have physically. And Zion's great when he's on the floor. How long is he going to be able to be on the floor?
I thought Barkley and Shaq had a great. Barkley said someone's got to get to him and say enough. Like, you know.
Barkley said he needed to hear it, right? Barkley said when he came in the league.
Moses Malone told him that.
Moses told him. Yeah. And he revered Moses. And he got to Philly and Moses was there. And Moses is like, hey, man, like, that ain't going to work. And I can't remember the exact way. This is going back about a month, like the way Charles put it. But he said, like, Moses was direct and blunt.
He told him he's too fat.
Yeah, and, like, you can't.
Period. You're too fat.
This ain't going to work, man. Not at this level. You're not playing Niagara anymore in some preseason tournament. And I use that only because our buddy Jeff Blanzy played at Niagara and played against Charles Barkley once in a preseason tournament. And they didn't know who Charles Barkley was.
They had
then
no
was
idea.
He came out, they said they were laughing at him. And then he dropped 40 on him.
Yeah.
You know, but he's like, you're not playing Alabama anymore. You're in the NBA. And it's like, you know, and Charles said he took it to heart. So it's worth noting, and especially when you hear these other guys. Reggie Miller was getting on him, I guess, during the broadcast last night on Luka. So 312-332-ESPN. We'll try to sneak in a few calls before we're out of here. We'll be right back.
This hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team, Coach Collins.
Go Cats.
And the Cats host DePaul,
Go Cats.
Illinois, Purdue, and more. I think they host Wisconsin, too, this year at Welsh Ryan Arena this winter.
Go Cats.
Buy tickets now at NUSports.com.
Go Cats.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Go Cats. Sun's out, guns out, baby. I don't care if it's 35 degrees.
That's it. I still got the
shorts on. Guns out, calves out for Yurko.
That's right.
Sun's out. Sorry, did I say guns out?
I gotta put the lotion.
Sun's out, calves
I get ashy
out.
In the cold weather, the dry weather. I get ashy.
Ashy.
Yeah. So I gotta throw the lotion on the legs, and that really makes them glisten.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to throw some lotion on those legs for you. Maybe I'll help you out.
You got a special
Paint
batch?
Each other up. Let's
say hi to some Lubiderm.
Justin in Joliet. Hello, Justin.
Justin.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Talk up, to buddy? Me, my friend.
Quick word. Last night we Pacers were talking about getting rid of their three players, Sabonis, Turner, and possibly LeVert. How do you feel about putting a deal in for Sabonis? I'm thinking AO is going to be better than White. Put White in there with a draft pick, maybe somebody else. But if we get Sabonis, I think that'll be the real deal right there, and we'd be really solid.
What's Sabonis is like?
Dolomatis Sabonis.
Justin, thanks, buddy. No, Domantas, Dolomatis. What do you mean?
Dolomatis.
Sabonis.
Yeah.
What's Sabonis's contract situation look like?
I'll try to take a look.
I think he signed in the last year or two, didn't he?
Are you on the sports track version of this?
No, I was just going to go.
I'm near the bottom, Carm. 2021, his contract is over this year, it looks like.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Well, no. Hold on. Current contract, Pacers, 18.562 this year, 19.937. Next year, and $21 million in 23-24. Signed a four-year, $77 million contract extension on 2019. So there you go.
Like with Vooch, I don't know, you have probably too much redundancy, right? Although you could use another big guy
to play defense. I mean, is this a Philadelphia play right here? I got to match up against Philly?
Yeah, well, yeah, like Matt, you got to match up against Embiid. It didn't go well in the regular season.
I gotcha. So, I mean, is this your play? I'll be honest. I haven't seen Dolomatis play that much.
I don't know why you call him Dolomatis.
I'm pronouncing his name right now. Dolomatis. Sabonis.
There's no L in his name.
It's not an L? Oh, I see. Domantas.
It's Domantas, isn't it? Have I always been saying
what
it wrong?
The hell? I don't care. It's the 6'11 guy from the Pacers. Do we need somebody to battle against Philadelphia, and how much are we willing to give up? That's the questions.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
What are the answers, Carm?
I think it'll be more minor stuff they do. Yeah. They feel like they've got their crew. They're going to lean on Zach and DeMar, and they like Vooch.
Go to Flowers real quickly. He's got another boost.
Flowers, talk to us,
our guy
kid.
Flowers. He's always on the
show. Hey, what's up, fellas? Well, I got a statement and then a statement slash question. Statement, 5 days ago, there's been rumors that the Bulls brass told Thaddeus Young that he would be coming back.
Yeah.
He's a possible buyout situation. I know Thaddeus Young. He's probably a good mentor, and he was a good fit with Zach, but he's a good mentor for Patrick Williams if they want to keep him. I like Sabonis. I don't think it's realistic. And as far as my statement question, you're not a big prop bet guy, are you? If you would have been on props last year with DeRozan, you would have known this guy, man.
What? This guy what?
He's been a playmaker.
Okay.
He's been a playmaker.
What was the prop that you had on DeRozan last year? What prop bet was that?
I was running his assists every game. Four and a half assists plus money every game.
There you go. I knew.
Flowers,
we got to run, buddy, because we're up against the clock. He's blossomed. He's turned into a different kind of player than we ever saw in Toronto. Thanks for listening, calling, and participating in the show today. Enjoy the day. We'll see you tomorrow. Great work by Midway, Jeff Meller, Randy Merkin, and J.R. Strauss. Greeny's next. I have the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have a last word.
On Carmen and Yurko.
Those fire naggy chants are disrespectful. But who gives a f***? I can't take it anymore.
That was The Final Word on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.